You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Which do we do first?
Well, I haven't started it yet.
Sorry. I thought we had to do that after QuickTime. Okay, anyway, sorry. Carry on. I'm going to dye my hair after this, and I will finish writing after that because I'm not there. And if my hair comes out poorly, I could lose my mind tonight.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Too Many Men. My name is Allison Lucan, and as we reach a time of the year when we focus on people that we are so thankful for and what we are thankful for in our lives, there couldn't be two people I am more thankful for than my two co-hosts. So let's start with someone who always challenges, fights for what's right, both for herself and for others, the incredible, amazing Sarah Sivian. Sarah, how are you today?
Oh, full of love for you and so thankful for both of you. And just cracked open a claw and fought Clay Travis on Twitter. So happy Thanksgiving to all.
That's a good day. And as we always say, we would be nothing if we did not have the artsy, the creative, the doing things her own way because it's the right thing for her, Shayna Goldman from The Athletic. Shayna, say hi.
Hi.
Good job. Nice work.
Thank you. I'd like to ask you something. I'd like to turn the tables. You did this like incredible thing this weekend where you were between the benches, you know, for the Kraken Kings game. And then you, I don't know, like did color commentary on a national game for USA Canada in the rivalry series. So we want to ask you, you know, your three favorite things about it, what the experience was like. Tell the people, they want to know. We've been getting mentions like, is Allison going to talk about her weekend? Like, yeah, she's going to right now.
What did Hillary Knight smell like?
Okay, Hillary Knight's awesome. Like she's very cool. I got to interact with her three times. We did a 32 questions video for the Kraken, and then I had the honor to host a panel where she was one of the four athletes there, and then obviously saw her at the game. But I was nervous. Like I can talk to an NHL player any day and it's fine, but like I just have so much respect for these women on both teams, these athletes, and what they work for and the different circumstances under which they have to work. And I do. I love the women's game. I loved going to the Ohio State women's games when I was covering them. Like it's just a great game to follow. And so that was really amazing. Yes. Yes. What was the question? What were my three things?
Yeah.
Yeah, three favorite
You know how
things.
People do roses and thorns? Let's just do the roses. What are the three like highlights of
What
your...
is that?
You've never heard, it's like a group, like you do it at the end of like a team bonding thing or like a corporate meeting or something, kind of like it's meant to like foster communication and sharing.
Mm, I'll try that with my friends.
I'm sure that's a good
thing. Yeah. It's like an icebreaker in the corporate world. I don't know what I know about the corporate world.
Yeah, I don't know give a fucking thing about that.
Give us your top three. Off the bat, things of this weekend.
Yeah, I mean, I think that top three, just the opportunity to cover a women's game, that was really an honor for me to be asked. And those women deserve so much. And I just did as best as I could to try and honor them and what they do and what they deserve. So just the act of being able to do it, it was hard. I'm sure there's people who know those players even better than I do, and I respect that heavily, but it was a blast. I think the second thing was just being able to interact with John Forslund and JT on the broadcast, because those are the kind of conversations we have when we're at practice or things like that, and I just have so much respect for both of them, and they both have interest in the kind of work that I do, and so to have the knowledge of those two and to have JT share, you know, what this modern game is all about and what he sees and what players are facing. And then for us to just kind of hand it back and forth of what the data tells us about it. And it was so much fun. The third thing, cause it was both games. So I don't have a third thing. It was just a blast.
It was a total freaking blast. Was the third thing watching a wrestling clip that I sent you? Was that it? The highlight was watching a little snippet of wrestling content. I'm glad I could be of service.
I will say thank you for people have been very kind about particularly the Kraken broadcast. But I have to laugh at there's total awesome support. But so a wonderful Kraken fan put out a clip where people, he very clearly edited together like multiple points in the game. Like there's literally a game clock. We didn't just sit there and say 1-3-1 over and over and over again. We said it like six times over the course of 3 hours. So again, thank you for telling us how much you're actually paying attention to the game. So anyway, no, but it was awesome. It was very, very cool. It was very, very cool. Thank you both for your support and love. Yes, you had to deal with a really crazy me this past week. So
you make it easy.
Well, mm-hmm. So do you guys. You're awesome. You're awesome. Okay. That's very uncomfortable. Enough about me. Here we go.
Yeah, you hate it.
I
look at Rangoon in the background.
Oh, go Allison. Oh, we love Rangoon. Little goony. Okay, here we go. Friends, it's still an episode of Too Many Men, which means we always start with Sarah Sivian's favorite segment. Sarah, what's it called?
Bit-O Gobble Gobble News. Like feeling so festive.
Well, it's a festive time. Thanksgiving is my favorite holiday. Anyway, unfortunately, it's injury news. And of course, because everything affects the Leafs, the news came out of Toronto today, I believe. Shayna's shaking her head at me. Is that not today? I don't know what day it is.
No, I'm laughing. Just it's the Leafs. The Leafs are creating news for us on days we record because they're like, please talk about us.
Yeah. It's like injuries have never happened before. O'Reilly went on IR. Anyway.
Shayna, tell us the news. O'Reilly. Tell us the news. Tell us how you think this is going to impact the Leafs.
So Morgan Riley's out. I think it's 4 to 6 weeks with an MCL injury. Super unfortunate. He got hurt in the game last night against the Islanders. It sucks because they have, one, he's very good and he's their number one defenseman. Two, they have other injuries like TJ Brody and obviously Jake Muzzin, who is done for likely the entire year. So good luck figuring that one out, Toronto. Everyone's going to be like, do they need a defenseman? Other people already think they need a middle six forward, a top six forward, which, okay. Alrighty then. You know, good luck to the Leafs figuring out who to add. I'm very curious to see how they handle this because they could say, fuck it. Let's just play through it, see how it works. Or they could be a little bit more aggressive. And like, I really don't know which direction they'll go. They waited out the goalie situation. What do you think they do here?
Sarah, will the Leafs survive this latest, clearly obvious karma-inducing threat that only this team has to deal with and no other?
It's the question many are asking. Yeah, I don't think... I think they'll persevere. You know what I mean? I mean... Gotta hand it to Matt Murray and the goalies. They've been pretty good as of late, ever since Murray's return. So, like, this happens to every team over the course of the season. Like, it does suck when it happens to someone like Riley. But I do think it's, like, when they come back, it's such a boost that you don't need to, like, sell the farm. They can't really even do that. So, just leave it alone.
It's going to be an interesting study. It's a little bit of a take on the Edmonton argument, right? Like, sure, they have top-notch talent, but how much of your foundation can you erode away and what level of talent is needed to support even the best of the best on your roster when it goes away? So yeah, hey, Leafs, we talked about you. You're welcome. It's not an episode without it. It's also not an episode of Too Many Men, unfortunately, without the shit list. Hey everybody, Allison here. A quick interruption. We wanted to bring you an update before we go into our shit list this week because as much as we want to point out when things go wrong, we want to acknowledge when things start to go perhaps on a path to being better. And we talked quite a bit about a racial slur used on the ice against Michigan State's Jagger Joshua in the game against the Ohio State Buckeyes last weekend. After we finished recording on Tuesday, Ohio State did issue a statement. The statement in part does say that Camille Sedlocha will not be with the team. He will not practice or compete, quote, at this time. And Associate Athletics Director Jerry Emig issued a statement. This was shared via Brian Hedger. And the statement reads, I want to offer my sincere and heartfelt apology to Jagger Joshua on behalf of Ohio State University. I am so sorry. No student or student athlete should experience hatred or racism, and everyone should feel welcome. I've spoken with Michigan State Athletic Director Alan Holler, and I'm thankful Jagger is getting the support he needs. Over the last week, the Department of Athletics has worked through this on-ice incident and spoken with Camille Sedlocha and the rest of the team, and Camille is returning home and will not practice or compete at this time.
I've met with the men's hockey team and will be meeting with them again soon to discuss our values. The team will complete education on racial sensitivity, diversity, equity, inclusion, and the use of respectful dialogue. The department and I will support them through this important process. So that is an update. We went pretty hard, to be honest with y'all, on the fact that we didn't think Ohio State was doing enough. And now they've started to take some action. And we wanted to acknowledge that and make space for that. So with that, we'll move on to our shit list. Thanks.
And this one, I personally am very upset about. We talk about this all the time, that hockey is not immune of the same problems in all pockets. And unfortunately, we have some really troubling news coming out of an Ohio State-Michigan State game this past weekend, where Jagger Joshua, who plays for Michigan State, has said that a racist statement was made against him on the ice. The player was, I want to pull this up correctly, excuse me, Camille Sadlocha, I believe is how it's pronounced, was given a game misconduct. So it was obviously something happened, and we would never question those accusations as it is regardless. But unfortunately, the response has been very disappointing from Ohio State. Camille has locked his Twitter account, and the Big Ten says, and Ohio State says, that they have reviewed the incident and that there will be no further punishment. And I personally am very disappointed. I've covered this program, and I would have expected better from them. I think that these are the times when you do have to back up who you say you are with action. And, you know, I'm still processing what that looks like. You know, the wrinkle to me that's especially challenging about all this is that Jagger Joshua is actually the younger brother of Dakota Joshua, who played at Ohio State. And I know, you know, your rivals on the ice and all that, but there's some connections here. It's just, again, it's none of this is okay. I'm struggling with punishment and also mandating some restorative action for Camille. I mean, what can we do to fix this? And the fact that there's no response at all of either kind is really frustrating to me. Sarah, we see this all the time, unfortunately. And unfortunately here again, the player has to come out and make a statement on social media. What were your reactions? And do you have thoughts on, you've covered the college game, what could have been a better response here from both the Big Ten and from Ohio State?
Yeah, I struggle, and I'm trying to figure out exactly how to word this. It's just like, obviously, I support him 5,000%, and I support anybody speaking up. I do get a little uncomfortable when it comes to like vigilante witch hunts, where it's like, oh, we look at the box score and we see that this is the guy that was called for a, like, that all adds up. But at the same time, like, yes, that makes me uncomfortable, but at the same time, the university's inaction to do anything makes me more uncomfortable that we have to go to these lengths and we have to be police these systems that won't police themselves. It's like, I don't understand that. Trust me, I went to Penn State and I know the Big Ten has enough of a sanctions committee to do something about this. I know. And the fact that he was given a game misconduct and it, like, then we just move on. It's not okay. It's not okay. And this is why there's no, when people say there's no room for hate in hockey, or like we're making such big strides, it's like, no, somebody can so comfortably get on the ice, not care, and say all this without thinking he's going to risk his future. I don't know. I've never heard of this guy. So maybe he didn't have much of a future in the NHL, but I'm sure he thinks he does, this type of guy. And if he's so comfortable saying a racial slur, they gave him every reason to be comfortable with doing it, because they just gave him a game misconduct as if he accidentally did a hit to the head, which is also a game misconduct in the college game. So how does that, an accidental hit to the head, equate to a racial slur that nobody does by accident?
Shayna, what was your reaction to the situation? And, you know, again, listen, we've been in college sports. It's the lack of a statement is what's frustrating to me. Is this in part because, and I really don't know, so let me be very clear on that, the player's age, certain privacy concerns or policies, but you have an opportunity for not even a win, but a better first step, in my opinion, than how Ohio State and the Big Ten have handled this to date. What would you have liked to have seen, or do you not know yet?
Yeah, I'm not positive like what the perfect answer is. And, you know, it's wild that I could even say that considering how many times we've seen this happen. But, you know, like every situation is obviously different and everyone wants to handle it differently. And the way things have been handled so far, it's not like it's changing anything. It would be nice. I understand privacy concerns. It would be nice for some sort of public statement, though, to kind of like put your foot down and be like, hey, this is not okay. And even if it's from the school, it's something, just anything to show this is important. This isn't something that just goes by unnoticed. This is normal. Like, it is normal. That doesn't exactly mean we need to act like it and normalize it further. Yeah, like, we need to look at things and go, hey, this is fucked up and this is what we do to fix it. This is what we do to stop the problem from repeating a million times over. So, you know, as much as we could look at it and go, well, maybe there's privacy concerns, we could look at, you know, he's young and yada, yada, yada. Both players are young in this, and he no one should have to take this. No one should have to listen to this, and it's constant. So it would be nice to see something. And again, we're not saying this person doesn't deserve any chance of redemption. Like, you do, but you have to earn that. And right now you are not, and the school is enabling him to not, it feels like, from what we know.
The one thing I just want to reiterate is the fact that he was so comfortable saying this is the problem. And it's like, I don't know what the perfect answer is, and I'm not completely well versed on the NCAA rules. I don't think there are, like, if you elect to be a student athlete, they do all this bragging about how student athletes are students before they're athletes. So that comes with a certain responsibility. And like, when you attach yourself to a school name, that should come with a responsibility to not be like a raging piece of shit at the very least. And if you're going to do a racial slur, like, it just shows to me, I just can't get the picture out of my head of him yelling that loud enough that the ref heard it, gave him a misconduct. And I don't think we can blame this on a college hockey ref. I think he did what he could do probably in that moment and obviously reported it, I think. But everybody knew that this happened, and the young man felt the need to make a statement about it because he was so disappointed that there is no action being taken, and there absolutely needs to be. This is a hate crime. This is a hate crime, and that needs to come with sanctions. I saw, what school was it, Kentucky, where a white woman got drunk and assaulted a black woman and called her the N-word multiple times, and she literally, just like that, lost her. She was a senior and she is expelled, and that's a good thing. And why can't that happen? Because this guy is an athlete with some sort of future that I've never heard of.
Yeah, and again, I mean, there are layers here, and just like what we saw with the Bruins situation, there are layers where decisions are made or not made. And I just would have loved to have seen any of those individuals say, we have to do something actionable here again. And maybe it's punitive. I'm not saying it has to be punitive against the player either. It could be restorative, but the lack of action is frustrating. However, friends, it is still the holiday season. My favorite holiday, in fact, as I keep telling you. And so Sarah was smart enough
why?
To say...
Can I ask why?
Why
is it your favorite? I'm curious.
It's from Columbus. Like,
what the? No. Because, here's why. Because it's my favorite meal, and it's a wonderful time when everyone wants to get together, and there's no pressure of gifts. There's no pressure. It's just, that's focused fair. On what I think are the right things.
Like food.
Food and not invading and a foreign land. But, oh my God, the food is so good.
True. But anyway.
Wait, can I say? Sorry.
Shade.
Oh, I was just going to tell you, Rich got a like 20-pound turkey from work the other day, and I didn't have room for it in the fridge or freezer. I'm like, my parents already have a turkey, like, what do we do? So I cooked it Saturday with him, because I'm like, fuck it. And we've just had turkey for like days already, and now we're leading into that. Like, we cooked it to have it like as sandwiches, and I'm giving it to the dogs, and I'm trying to figure out what the fuck to do with it, because I'm like, I can't throw away a turkey, but I'm already like, I'm done with Thanksgiving, and it hasn't even started.
This is exactly what our listeners want to hear, Shayna.
I know. I was just curious why it's your favorite. Anyway, carry on.
Anyway,
Sarah
had a great idea that we are bringing in a new segment in this season of thanks. And we are thrilled, legitimately, to bring you the anti-shit list. Today, it was a wonderful, positive step when we do talk about people living and organizations living what they say they want to be. The NHL had tweeted out earlier today, this is Tuesday, that this is the tweet. The NHL is proud to support this past weekend's Team Trans Draft Tournament in Middleton, Wisconsin. This was the first tournament comprised entirely of transgender and non-binary players with around 80 folks participating. And they included some pictures. You can imagine what some of the reply guys had to say. And the NHL responded, I'm not going to even mention to whom because it's not worth it, but their response was, trans women are women, trans men are men, non-binary identity is real. And I come after the league for a lot of things, but I want to say I think this is so important and really, really, really awesome, particularly because if you look, you see the backlash that they got on social at the very least. But I think saying this and saying this proudly and saying this on Maine is huge, particularly after a weekend that not only was about celebrating the LGBTQ community, but then had a tragedy occur in Colorado as well. And so I personally today am thrilled with the NHL. Good on you for doing this. Sarah, when you came up, when you said, let's make this the anti-shit list, just what did this mean to you to see the NHL take this stand?
Honestly, it was a divisive, a specific stand that they took. And I really, really appreciate that. Like, you know what I mean? They weren't mincing words about it. And they, even like my wokest among us were kind of responding that they appreciated it, because at a time like this, honestly, of like such heartbreak and tragedy in the LGBTQ plus community, it's important, like these words do go a long way, and it's important to vocally stand by the community. So I am going to give them an A+ on this one.
Shayna?
Yep, I agree. I think first of all, tweeting in the first place was a good move for them. And I think it appeared like if you tweet something that you know fans are going to push back to, we see with Pride Night and things like that too, you have to be prepared and kind of like be ready to manage it and handle the situation, which we don't always see happen. And it was just impressive to me that the league, the social media was one allowed to do this, two ready and supportive with their response. I think it was really well done. We've seen teams do this before, so to see it from the actual league is important. So, you know, good on them. I agree, A+ in their handling of this.
Awesome job, NHL. We give out a lot of members of the shit list, but we definitely want to celebrate when we see organizations making any step, any size, any step. All right, kids. There was actually some hockey. There were like 8,000 games on 2 days and then 2 games on like 4 days. And I still am not sure that I'm 100% caught up. And because of that, we're going to go back to our new favorite game, which is buy or sell. We've collected a whole bunch of headlines from around the NHL since we last spoke with y'all, and I'm going to read them off, and then each of my co-hosts are going to have the chance to buy or sell. We're going to need 2 buys to bring a topic for conversation. So the stakes are high here, friends. Are you ready?
No. But I will try.
Yes. All right. Here we go. So we're going to go through our buys or sells, and you both have to answer at the same time because we can't cheat here. Okay. You ready? All right. Here we go. Matthew Barzal finally scores a goal, and the Islanders have yet another comeback win, most recently against, of course, the Toronto Maple Leafs. My friends, buy or sell?
Buy.
Yeah, let's talk about it. Let's talk all about right. it. Hold on. Let's shout out to our Twitter follower that said, I knew Sarah wasn't going to buy this one the last time. We're buying it now, baby. We're ready to talk about the Islanders.
Let's go, Shayna.
Do the honors.
My friends complained. They were like, are you ever going to talk about the Islanders on the podcast? I'm like, I talk about them with you all the time. Like, it's not like I don't talk about them. Okay. Everyone was panicking about Barzal not having a goal because he is a playmaker. And, you know, he wasn't getting the results. First of all, he's shooting at a higher rate this year. Second of all, he has a higher shot quality pace this year. Third of all, he should have had like 5 goals before he had his, you know, first two actually go in. I think we need to talk about the construction of the Islanders and how they have so many net front players who often tip in, redirect, you know, shots like that. He plays with Anders Lee, or if you play with Brock Nelson on the power play, or Zach Parise is on his line for a minute, or Pageau, those players tend to finish his chances. Could he be a little bit more aggressive with his finishing and going for the shot and not going for the pass? Absolutely. But he's doing just fucking fine. And he's playing great. So shut up. Get over it. And it's fun. They're coming from behind. They come alive when they're trailing in games. It would just be nice to see them with a little more effort before they go down. Like, how many 3-1 games did they come back from a couple weeks ago? But hey, they like the drama. Go for it. And they beat the Leafs. More chaos. Here for it.
Yeah. Yeah. They beat the Leafs. That's everybody's Super Bowl, honestly. including mine. Isn't this what we wanted out of Matt Barzal? Didn't we want him to focus on the other parts of his game? Weren't we all crying about that? So I'm glad, actually, that he took a little time to focus on his game while his team was picking up his slack. They were scoring, like, some of the highest, like, goals, averages, whatever, of all the fanciest stats in the world in the league in the beginning. So I'm like, when I think about that, I remember when I was covering the Canes and it was like, should we be worried about X player? Should we be worried about Y player? I'm like, is the team losing? No. Is there 82 games in the season? Yes. This is the time. If you want your team to make the playoffs, you've got to, it's a team effort. That's not just a cliche. Like, some people are finding their groove and scoring goals while other people are figuring out other aspects of their game. And shout out to the Islanders' new coach, because he is a great new voice that, like, I don't know, he's pretty young and cool. I think he can, like, get to the players in a way. Like, he was part of Barry Trotz's staff. So I feel like it's just nice to see these younger guys with the same messaging but different delivery get to the guys.
Love that. Love that. All right, here we go. Number two, the Devils. The Devils! That's a certain age group. We'll understand that. The Devils are on a 13-game win streak versus the Leafs. On Wednesday was when Lindy Ruff hit 1,650 games coached, the fifth most in NHL history. The Devils are just racking up the W's in, like, every single category they can. Buy or sell?
Buy. Oh. Sorry, we're supposed to go at the same time.
We're supposed to go at the same time.
Oh, we are? How is that ever possible? How would you trust us like that? One, two, three. Yeah. Buy.
Oh my God. All right, Sarah, talk about the Devils.
God, what do you want from them? They have offense, they have defense, they have goaltending because they finally listened to Shayna and started some other people, other than Mackenzie Blackwood. And they, it's like all the pieces that they have put together are finally coming through at the same time. It's just kind of ridiculous. It's like they can't lose. And even the overtime winners have been so good. I just think the way they've done defensively is even more impressive to me than offense. So it isn't even really about the goaltending, but at the same time, like, it's all kind of clicking. Shayna, I'm curious about your thoughts.
It feels like last year they had, like, the pieces to get there. And, you know, they started with the speed game and they were really good off the rush. And Jack Hughes was thriving and Jesper Bratt and Nico Hischier and players like that. But it was so easy for games to spiral because of the goaltending. And there were defensive lapses. But this year it does feel a bit differently. It's like the way that they're defending. Players like John Marino and Siegenthaler and Dougie Hamilton. Like, the way that they're limiting the danger of chances. And I think Marino last night against Connor McDavid, you know, off the rush twice. It was, like, great examples of how he was, like, getting him out of the danger zone to take away that opportunity against one of the best players in the world. Like, that's huge. And, you know, now this year they kept up with the rush game with their speed. But there's a little bit more sustained pressure behind it and more cycle chances that they were missing before. So it's impressive to me. And it's also interesting that I want to start, like, the influence of assistant coaching, I think, is important here because they seem to struggle with that last year. And it's interesting, you have two new assistant coaches but the same head coach and you see very different results.
And who is that assistant coach?
Well, Andrew Burnett is the interesting one that everyone's talking about right now. I know you like him. He's been so good with the power play. So good with the offense that you're like, okay, maybe this, we knew that Mark Recchi wasn't good with the power play. The power play was an absolute, they allowed more shorthanded goals at times than they did score power play goals.
I'm going to have to get another call after this. This is what my question is. It's like every time I was on Twitter, it was like, Rod Brind'Amour Jeff Daniels doesn't know what to do with the power play. It's like, what does a coach actually, I feel like you're really good at explaining this. Like, what impact can a coach actually have on a power play that isn't just the personnel?
Do you want me to go first? this is all you.
Please, I mean, you can go, you can, you can, you could try something different in formation. You can switch which player is where. You can make an in-play switch. That's something the Kraken have been doing, where they take Jordan Eberle and Jaden Schwartz and flip them between net front and bumper, depending on what they're trying to accomplish. I think there's a lot of things you can do strategically that could free up, because you're putting your most talented players out there, theoretically. So there's, I mean, it's not rocket science, but at the same time, it's like also like just allow yourself to think differently for a second versus shoot more, pass harder, or whatever it is.
Yep.
Thank you.
I agree.
I'm satisfied with the answer.
It's just like, it's so, and the other thing too with the Devils specifically, it felt like, for one, they didn't have Dougie Hamilton on power play one. All of last year when he got injured, he didn't immediately return.
Canes fans, everybody out there for some reason wants to cry about Dougie because he's big and he won't hit. I don't know, whatever. He will change the complexion of a power play.
Yep. And he was there. And then when he got hurt, Severson took over and they were clicking a little bit. So they kept it. The other thing is they got really stagnant in their positioning. Like they got into formation and it felt like it was too predictable. And you could see when Jack Hughes was healthy, he was like skating around the offensive zone with the puck and trying to get everyone moving while still in their positions. And you just see like a lot more flow now. So it definitely seems like, how many times do we see a head coach completely change their assistant coaches but stay on? You know, like it's going to be really interesting. Coaches like Torts, who we talk about, who aren't like the most X's and O's kind of guys, like are they good communicators? Are they good people managers? And then you can find someone to be the right tacticians. Like it's stuff that we should talk about more.
That's actually such a good case study, because all the time we're just like spewing what our actual beliefs on these things are when you don't really get like that in the wild too much. So it's good to know it's working out. Shout out to Florida. Could have used my boy Brunette.
Well, I have to tell you, while I'm excited for the Devils to, I'm excited for any team, I've said this about them, that is trying to do this the right way, find success. However, they can't keep winning, guys. Do you know why? Who has the...
Because the Leafs are coming to town tomorrow?
No. The Kraken are on board?
No! Do you know who has the second longest win streak in NHL history?
Oh, Columbus.
Columbus Blue Jackets. And they really need
That's to... That's what, 16-17 was 16. The year they did it?
No, the season was... it was 16-17. But the win streak was 16. And we can't, like, don't take away anything else from Columbus right now, guys. Like, let them live. Like, give them just one little happy, positive thing going on here right now.
Do you know what's wild about the win streak, though?
Thank you, Sarah.
They've beaten a couple teams two times. I think it's Ottawa, Calgary, Edmonton, and now they potentially could do that to the Leafs. Like, it's only Canadian teams that they're facing twice that they're like, we're going to beat you twice in the streak.
Yeah, the Devils are the first team in history to sweep, like, a total Canada trip, like all the Canadian teams, I guess. Like there was some stat like that where obviously people have swept the Western Canada, but they did the Eastern Canada too. So I don't know what to say about that.
Here we go. All right. Folks, we're giving you a super long episode in honor of the holiday. And also because we figure you're either traveling for the holiday or you're stuck with people that you're spending too much time with already. And maybe this will just like give you more time to put something in your ears and not listen. Here we go. Buy or sell. You're both going to answer at the same time. Buy or sell. Okay. The Bruins are still kicking.
Okay, ready?
Oh my God.
2, 3.
Bye.
Bye.
You can't buy everything. It is a gluttonous season, but we can't buy everything.
Listen, I'm going to sell the next one. I can tell you that. Okay, we'll go with this one. The Bruins are good.
No. Yeah, Sarah already talked about this when Shayna wasn't with us. So Shayna, you have 30 seconds to discuss the Bruins still kicking. And then we are moving on.
They're really good. I think it's the core is kicking. They're healthy. That's very good. They were good before that. I like the tweaks Jim Montgomery has done. I think he's done a really good job. I think players like Pastrnak look great under him. I think players like Charlie Coyle look great under him. Hampus Lindholm is thriving. Like it's all clicking for Boston. I think what's also important is like this, a lot of like their core is the core that they've won with, or the core you think of when you think of the Bruins. And it's interesting how the team, it feels like finally is evolving this year to like keep up with where teams should want to be today. And that's what's working for them.
Buy or sell? Buy or sell? Oh my God, this is a disaster. We appreciate you listening. Thank you for being part of the Too Many Men family. Here we go. Buy or sell? And I will count you down to your answer. Buy or sell? The ghost of Mike Smith keeps infiltrating the Edmonton net. Buy or sell? 3, 2, 1.
Sell.
Sell.
All right, perfect. God bless. I can't talk about
that. That's said enough.
Anymore.
That we like said that enough with the sentence. Yep.
Just go watch last night's highlight over and over again and just be like, what is happening?
Buy or sell. Natchez is a wagon, but almost traded. 3, 2, 1.
Buy.
Buy.
Okay.
How are you two? Okay. Go ahead.
Yeah,
you know this player. Go ahead.
I want to say, I have a few things to say about the Canes right now. I think it's so funny. Like, all the time I was covering them, it was like one random game a year when they were on, like, I don't know, like a 3-game losing streak. The three members of the media would randomly, like, pick a game to be overreactionary. Like, they don't care for 70 games. And then for, like a few games, they're like, this team needs Justin Williams back. I'm like, what? Then they came, like, because they were down 3-0 against a really good team. And then they came back 3-3 and went into overtime. And everybody was like, what? Okay, but they just tied it up.
Anyway.
Yeah. It's just like, why is everybody so reactionary about this team? They act like, I don't know. But Natchez was the one to tie it up, to bring it to overtime. He has been on fire this year. Imagine that when you put him with Andrei Svechnikov. The two skilled guys are going to do skilled things. And I just want to say, after reporting on the situation, and I put it in all my little articles, so I would try to, but like nobody would ever actually read my articles. So I'm like, oh, people would, but like I was breaking news in the articles and people are like asking questions about it still, whatever. Jesperi Kokkaniemi, okay, I'm going to try to pass. Jesperi Kokkaniemi signed a very expensive deal. And some of the people in the Hurricanes management, it is my sense that they wanted him to play high in the lineup and make it worth it to not face criticism. And then he did that and didn't score that much, and they faced criticism. And then Natchez got called back up higher in the lineup and scored 3 goals in 3 games, and they put him back down on the fourth line, and it made no sense. And if you think it made no sense and you were watching those games, you were right. I do think the coaching staff felt pressure to play Kokkaniemi, but now it's like, he is great. The fuck of it all is that he is great as like a third line. He's very big and tall. He's a great net front presence. And like, for some reason, we just want this guy to score so many goals, maybe because he was a high draft pick in Montreal, like the way Montreal, the chokehold that city has over all of us. But he has played great in the net front role. Like, he is a great replacement for Staal in the future. And let Natchez score his goals. And he has been. And he's been awesome this year. So the Canes were going to trade him and were like looking for like trade partners with him. And now I bet they're happy that they didn't. But I bet the agent is pissed that they were like putting him on the fourth line, were in sheltering his minutes, and kind of probably because they also didn't want to trade him for that much money. So I guess that's a win for the Canes. But I just really find myself feeling for this player. I'm sorry, this is the Martin H's podcast now. I just find myself feeling for this player, and I hope he's happy. I hope you're happy.
Shayna, you can't have anything to add after that.
I'm happy for him. I like that he's finally...
he's a good kid.
Playing to his strengths, it feels like, you know, and not trying to just play to the Kane style, but like make his strengths work in the Canes top six, if that makes sense, because he's like a little bit different from some of the other players, and it just feels like he's finally like, I know how to play my game and make it work here, and you're seeing the results. So sometimes like I think there is something to like concepts and skill over just strategy.
He's
right?
So talented at passing. It's like, it's just amazing to watch. One time I tweeted like Martin Natchez sucks sarcastically because I was on his side, and he liked it because he was like probably reading tweets about himself after the game, and I was like, oh, I actually didn't mean that. I think you're really good. I'm sorry that other people think you suck. And I've liked him ever since. Anyway.
Anyone have any more questions? We're going to have now we have to launch a Martin Natchez podcast.
We need him on the pod.
That's all we need. Well, Sarah, you get on
that. Not enough Natchez.
Oh my God, no. No.
New merch. Not enough Natchez.
All right. If either of you, if either of you buy this, I'm going to crawl through the interwebs and yell at you. But here we go. Buy or sell. Could San Jose...
why?
Oh, my God, Shayna. Let me read it first. The people don't know. Buy or sell. Could San Jose trade Erik Karlsson? 3, 2, 1.
Buy.
Sell.
You both have to agree.
Oh, there's a tie.
Nope, you both have to agree. That was the rule. I said that going in. Sorry, Shayna. Moving on. Buy or sell. Listen, it is a free country. Buy or sell. The senators, who we all wanted to do well, are struggling. They currently sit at the bottom of the Eastern standings. Buy or sell, talking about the senators and their struggles in 3, 2, 1.
Sell.
Sell.
I'm selling this like I'm the third Melnick girl, or I'm the Weeknd about to buy it. So I hope the Weeknd buys it, and then it's like House of Balloon. Okay. Shout out to my Weeknd fans.
All right. Buy or sell. Should Vancouver trade Captain Bo Horvat? 3, 2, 1.
Fuck you.
Bye.
Bye.
What does that mean? Okay.
Fuck
all right.
The Canucks. Like, I'm just so
Shayna?
Over that.
Shayna, go ahead.
I don't think he's the player they should like be wanting to trade. I think like it should have been Miller a year ago, and they could have gotten all these assets back to really push them where they need to be. But I don't think they can have a Miller contract going into his 30s that's going to look bad in a couple years, and a Horvat contract that's going to look bad in a couple years just because of like where they are in their time. It doesn't make it. I know he's your captain, but like it does not make sense to have both of them. When you're not, if you're a playoff team right now and they were a contender, it'd be like status quo. Who fucking cares what you're doing in 5 years? Because this is your window now, and their window is where is it's literally it's where. What are you doing? It's like, are
it's
you good?
Horrible.
Are you gonna be? It's a mess. And either way they go, if they go, we're gonna sell off, then you just fucking failed all of these years, and you're a disaster. And if you say we're good enough to go for it. How much are you going to have to spend to get good? Because you've fucked yourself so much over the years that, like, now to throw another contract in, I say free him. Let him go somewhere. Like, if they can do a sign and trade, I'm really, really interested where it could be, because it's not just a contender. Could it be someone like Columbus, who really needs a good center? Like, that would be interesting. You know, if he was with Johnny Gaudreau, like, that could be kind of cool. They need a good center. And I think he would be, like, the kind of fit that they need. But
you're now a Blue Jackets fan. How in the hell are they going to keep the core young players they need and acquire that player? They have no money, and Vancouver's not going to say, "Oh, we'll make that trade for Boone Jenner." I mean, come on.
No, they're going to have to do young pieces. But I'm not thinking of the Blue Jackets.
Who's giving up their first rounder for Bo Horvat?
You are the Blue Jackets fan who says, let me trade Jared Bull for like freaking, I don't know who.
Who says
Mitch
no?
Mitch Marner. Well, so yeah.
They were offered something. I think Shayna. This is public now. Horvat was.
Wow, insider.
This is definitely out there somewhere, so it's fine. Already, so I'm just refreshing it. But I'm pretty sure. Horvat was offered. There was a potential trade conversation about Horvat for Pavel Buchnevich, which was talked about a bit. And this was whatever. And I think it was Vancouver that said no, which was odd because it's like you could get a top line caliber two way winger versus like a center who is a good center, but if he's not your 1C unless. You have two elite wingers on each side of him to bring him to the caliber you need a 1C to be on a contender. And they chose not to do it then over a year ago. So now it's like you just like his value's not where because of his age, because of what's happened since. Like, so good fucking luck with like a good return. I don't even know what Vancouver would want at this point because I don't think they know what they want.
Well, and let me be clear, I'm not picking on Jared Bull or Boone Jenner. First of all, because my husband would get mad at me. And second of all, they're both NHL players, and there have both been Jared Bull doesn't play anymore. They've both been integral parts of the Columbus Blue Jackets team. My point to make was, if Vancouver's at all smart, they're going to want the young, promising, highest end talent possible, and that's not what Columbus can afford to give up right now. So before you come at me, that was my point. Sarah, what are they going to do with Bo Horvat?
Yeah, I don't care. I'm done. I'm done with this team. Like, okay, trade him. They just like are 17 steps behind where they need to be on every single thing. And it's like, they wait till the bitter end to do something when they should have, like, it's just like, but what is this even going to do at this point? They are never like, if I'm a player and they're like, okay, you're getting traded to Vancouver. I'm like, it's the best city in the world. And I don't really care about how I play because I'm not in the NHL, but I'm like, I'd love to live there, but I can't, like, this would be such an undesirable place because there's just no direction. It's like, okay, can I hang on to the last few years of a great dynasty? No. Can I plan for a future where we can build for something and I can be a veteran presence or something for like a younger guy, or if I'm going to be a younger kid going there, I want to die. Like, no.
Well, maybe Emily Castonge, I just love to say her name, can help right the ship there. I love her name. I love her. She's a great person. Good worker. All right. Last buy or sell topic. Are you both ready?
Can I actually get another claw first? I'm being so serious.
Quickly. We will pause for station identification.
We should do elevator music. Like, it just like tunes out of us and it's just like a Too Many Men slate with elevator music.
And we're back. Sarah has a claw. Things are good. Here we go, my friends. Buy or sell, are the Blues good? ? Here we were just a short time ago talking about how they were on one of these worst losing streaks in the league. They lost 8 straight games and now they have won 7 straight. And according to Bally Sports, they are the first NHL team to ever put up such a record. Buy or sell, are the Blues good? 3, 2, 1.
Sell.
There you go. The jury is out. All right, y'all. As you know, once again, we are going into the Thanksgiving holiday. There is the proverbial rule that any team that is in the playoffs at the time of American Thanksgiving is likely to make it into the postseason. So when we come back after this holiday break, we'll be talking about that. We'll be doing a vibe check on which teams really look like contenders after getting to this pseudo-real, pseudo-not-real deadline that hockey people have put in place over time. But we usually end every episode with our favorite game, Fuck, Marry, Kill. But again, it is a season of thanks. It is a season to be with your family, be it the one you were born into or chosen into. And so instead of fuck, marry, kill, we're still going to each give you 3 things, but they're going to be 3 things for which we each are tremendously thankful for this year more than ever. Shayna, I'm going to let you go first.
Okay. I am thankful that while it is very slow growing, that we're actually seeing a little bit of innovation in hockey. We're seeing more teams hire people to work in their analytics department and elevating them to roles that it actually trickles down and it is not just data and information. It's something into the whole decision-making process. And we're seeing things like the power kill. Team Canada talking about the power kill themselves and how that's what they want their strategy to be. Coaches like Marty St. Louis talking about concepts over strategy and, you know, bringing something a little different to the table when he's a coach with little to no coaching experience before that. It's slow growing, but it is something that I am very thankful for.
Number 2. You got to do all 3.
No, one of you guys go. No.
I'm just going to hog all the good ones.
Okay, fine. Yeah, Sarah, go.
I am thankful for the NHL's recent, I mean, we went over this, but like there's more to talk about. The NHL's recent hard stance on supporting trans people, which is apparently a hot take to support people that like it just sucks. It does suck that every time they post something positive about the trans community, there are responses and there's a long way to go. But the first step is actually normalizing support of it from a homogeneous white hockey culture place. You know what I mean? Like it's big for them and they put their money where their mouth is. Where 5 days ago, they said, we look forward to working with the Trevor Project, which is one of the best LGBTQ plus things you can ever donate to and support. They help trans and gay people. Like if they are suicidal, they call this hotline specifically and get help, and they actually provide them with resources. It's an incredible thing. But okay, we look forward to working with the Trevor Project this year to amplify and support these life-saving services. For more information on being an ally to the transgender and non-binary community, can be found at trvr.org/allyship. And they are, yeah, they came out and said the transgender and non-binary community. And that just means a lot after everything that's gone down the past week and all the rhetoric that's been so dangerously spewed and the Goddess Able Decides stories that get written. It's not. We need to take a stance in supporting trans people because nobody on earth has more violence inflicted upon them other than trans people.
I am thankful for women's hockey. And I think that I realized it more than ever, and poor Shayna had to listen to me as I was prepping to cover this game. But, you know, Shayna just talked about innovation in the sport, and there is so much new and cool stuff happening in the women's game, from play behind the net to thinking about face-offs differently to power killing to how you defend to how you set up scoring chances. And when we talk about keeping the sport interesting and exciting, I think that there are answers beyond just more goals. And I think that if we have areas of the sport that are willing to change the way they think about it, it's only going to be more cool. And I think women's hockey is doing that. So I applaud them for being innovative and an incubator for doing things differently, both on and off the ice. Shayna, number two.
I am thankful for this podcast.
Hey!
Because I think we are so fucking important in this, in hockey, that we have, first of all, three women talking about stuff. Second of all, we're not afraid to say whatever the fuck we think, obviously. And third of all, we have Oreos now. Thanks to Allison. That I am so thankful. As you can see, if you're watching on YouTube, I already ate one because it was so fucking good. And you can't put Oreos in front of me and tell me I can't. 7 out of 7 on the rating scale. We love them. No notes. Look how cute these are. So I am thankful for you two and all that we do because I think that we are important. And just like, it's nice to have people in this industry to talk to you about literally everything, because there are days where I want to rip my hair out and lose my shit. And you two get to talk me down. And I am oh so appreciative of that.
Yes, I will echo that. I'm allowed to say you two too. But I'll also say a lot of women in hockey that may not always, like, I don't know. Sometimes not everybody's on Twitter screaming all the time, but sometimes people will support you behind the scenes. And you shout out to people like that. And I don't know, I just spent earlier this week at Penn State with Emily Kaplan of ESPN, and then we had Lisa Dillman on our podcast. And it was just nice to realize, like, not the torch being passed to anybody, but kind of how there's been generations and, like, different vibe. It's for so long, and Emily talked about this too so much, and I'm just, like, so astounded by how brilliant she is and, like, how she makes what she does look normal when it's not normal, right? Like, and Allison knows that as an analyst in a TV broadcast now, right? How she isn't the prototypical woman on rinkside, right? She was first a writer, and she didn't have that career path, but she paved the way for others to now have this career path. And women are allowed to be different people and look like different things and do different things and have opinions in this league now. And I'm very grateful for that, because I think it's short-sighted when we're like, women in sports, whatever. And it's just like somebody standing on a sideline looking gorgeous. It's like, yeah, what about the woman that has a fucked up eyebrow that they talk about on YouTube every day? Like, I'm allowed to have my opinions. What about somebody that has an opinion or takes a stance? We're allowed to have a spot too. So I'm proud and thankful for the women along the way who have helped us with that.
Well, I am millions percent thankful for this podcast, for all the reasons you said. And I am thankful to know that people have been generous enough to tell me that each of us, and then the three of us together, have been a beacon to someone who didn't know that maybe there was a spot for them in this sport. And so for that, I will twist my thank you, not just to this show, but to the fans and even people who've never heard this show before, because even with me going between the benches last weekend, it was actually good that the people who were giving us a hard time about some of the clips, and it was all in good fun, but it was about the content of what we were saying, and I didn't see, if it was out there, I didn't see it, which means if it was out there, it was very little of me being a woman or me not having played the game or anything like that. And I think that we are, the tide is rising, and that fans are slowly finding ways to be better, both individually and collectively. And I'm so thankful for that. All right, we have one more thank you. This is also wholesome. Shayna, go ahead.
Yeah, this one's not wholesome.
Okay, go ahead.
My wholesome meter, it's up. Sorry. I'm really sorry, but there's only so much you can expect from me.
Okay.
Because I was totally prepared for everything, obviously, not taking notes for this. I am thankful for this stupid, chaotic sport that we cover that is so much fucking fun, that is giving us something different to talk about every day, whether it's about player personalities or something good, or like we were talking about with the NHL's response for, or something bad and how we can make it good, or something ridiculous like last night's Vancouver fucking the puck going into with the camera and that chaotic goal review of a missed stoppage, of all of like the insanity of this sport, of the Maple Leafs, of the fucking Canucks, like all of it. It is never dull. It is never boring. It is always exciting. And there's always something to learn from it, to talk about and have a conversation with, to get a different perspective about, or like, you know, tie it to other sports and what we can learn from it, or just the human side of it. Like, I think it's a very good thing, as flawed and fucked up as it is. And it absolutely fucking is at every single level. And there's a lot to do. You know, that's what I got. So not very wholesome, but sorry.
It's okay.
That actually Sarah? Is really wholesome.
It
that
is
actually
wholesome.
Is really wholesome. We found the beauty. And we, if I didn't care about hockey, I wouldn't criticize it. Right. We all feel the same. Like, we love it so much that we want it to be the best it can, because at its best, it's pretty awesome. I am thankful for, honestly, the friends we've made along the way. The people that get it and listen to anywhere. Like, sometimes it's crazy. I am just like fucking out here tweeting or out here podcasting, thinking nobody actually listens. And then people dig it. So I'm glad our voices can resonate with you if they ever do. And I'm glad that you exist, because you sometimes make it worthwhile in the hard times.
And I will end by saying that I, and this is cheesy but true, I'm very thankful for our producer, Jeremy Taché.
Yes.
Who, you can hear the mess that we are, and he puts up with us and he makes us sound as good as our wobbling audio tends to be, depending on where we each are in the country or the continent, honestly. And he's been so great and so supportive. And I'm so thankful that we are part of the Le Batard Network too. It's just been an honor and to feel that support and to be part of a platform that says, talk about whatever you want and say whatever you want to say. And we're here and we believe in you has been, I think, a really important boost for each of us. For a little thing that started out just because Sarah wanted to have a podcast. Who knew? Who knew? All right, friends.
Could never do it without you two. Oh, my God.
That's what we're all
about. I did, like, want a podcast because it was cool. And then we actually had some shit to say. Imagine that.
And more shit every day. Thank you, NHL. Exactly. Thank you, Hockey World.
Exactly.
Thank you, Maple Leafs.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you, yes, Leafs.
Toronto. Thank you.
Yeah, I'm thankful for Toronto.
All right, my friends. Well, that should do it. We hope that we've given you some joy, some thought, and some fun for this Thanksgiving holiday. We are, in all sincerity, very, very thankful for you. If you aren't already, please follow us on Twitter at 2_much_man. If you haven't already, check out our merch. It's over at Teespring. You can search for us by Too Many Men there, or you can find the link in our Twitter bio or on our website, TooManyMenPod.com. We will be back next week, back to our regular 2 episodes a week structure, bringing you all the hot takes that our minds can hold. Until then, please, please tell someone you're thankful that you are in fact thankful for them. Lift them up, give people their flowers while you can. Truly do something to make hockey for everyone and be good to one another.
Love you. Mean it.
Bye.